we have been promised that something like that is not going to happen again.
Hold on a minute. Hold on 1 second. Cody Westerlin is going to come in here.
No, we're not going to do that.
Tell us that Adam Amin thinks that John Fox just passed away.
We're not going to do any of that stuff.
Someone check on Fred Hoiberg.
I'm not going to do that ever again on this show.
The clip you guys just played of the Matt Nagy, were you or were you not pre-fired press conference? Man, that takes me back.
What was that like chasing that on Thanksgiving?
Oh, that was a few days. It was started a few days before Thanksgiving and then lasted all through Thanksgiving into the Matt Nagy victory lap with a 16-14 win over the Lions back when they were what you usually think of as the Lions. And then I kind of defiant press conference back at Hallis Hall the next day. But I was listening to that clip you just played of him saying, "You're doing a good job of asking me right now." And I wonder if he meant that. I wonder, because I'm picturing that he was saying that to me for just starting right off on that Monday press conference with, "Hey, basically, were you pre-fired?" Because that's what the internet says. And every person I've ever covered has always said, coaches and GMs especially, they're like, I'll be the source. You ask me. Don't go looking around for sources and unnamed sources. I'll be the source. Ask me. So I actually thought I was handling things exactly above board, exactly the right way in that case.
I think that it's important to at least get an answer on the record if you can. And if you have other sourcing that says otherwise, for sure. But I think it's good journalism to be like, "Hey, man, are you fired? What's up with that?"
And by that point in Nagy's career, he had thoroughly lost the plot. Like, he was just... It was awkward, and he knew it, and he was doing an impression of what he thought a Bears coach was supposed to be, pretty much, at the podium. But, Jason, look, we have more important things to do. The Bears' schedule is out so far. There are two games on the Bears' schedule.
Don't tell people that.
I said so far.
It really got me nervous that I missed something there.
We have Bears at Eagles on Black Friday, November 28th at 2 p.m., and we have Packers at Bears on December 20th, Saturday, and that is time to be determined as Fox will go up against the College Football Playoff. But let's go to the first game on the schedule. Are we going to do the thing where we go through both games and be like, "I got them 2-0. That's it, you know."
If you think that that's not going to happen, it's going to happen. I'm sure Jason's editor has already asked him to do it. I'm sure that the same thing is happening at the other paper. It's going to happen, and I hate when it happens.
But they only have two games right now. You can't do it. But Black Friday, you mentioned Thanksgiving. Do you like that the Bears are playing on Black Friday from a professional perspective and from the fans' perspective? How do you feel about it?
Yeah, for me, I like it because a lot of times they play on Thanksgiving Day, and then that's my Thanksgiving. In this case, you would, as a reporter, you'd get to have Thanksgiving at home and then just grab a late night flight to Philly. I think that's good for the Bears. I think the more of their standalone national broadcast games that are toward the end of the season, the better for them and for America. I think that it will probably look better in the second half than the first, as far as Ben Johnson's offense and Caleb Williams. And the more of their national games that get pushed into that part of the season, the better viewing experience it's going to be.
It's an interesting opponent list for them on the road, because there really isn't like I have to go on that trip. Like, you know, Bears fans, they're going to be in Arizona. So last year, like, they turned that place into Soldier Field Southwest. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe Vegas.
Vegas.
Depending on when that game is. If that game is in September, not sure if you want to be out there in Vegas in September.
Oh, they will. But that won't stop anybody.
They'll go. But, I mean, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Philly.
San Francisco. San Francisco's nice.
But it's not really San Francisco. It's Santa Clara.
It's Santa Clara, but you can join the rest of the San Franciscans and make the drive. But yeah, you know, Vegas, I've been in that stadium in Vegas to see a Bears game.
How do you feel about it?
I enjoyed the experience there quite a bit. That's where you had to make a long walk, and there were a lot of limpers that were making that walk with me, and it was a little awkward. But
that bridge, right?
That bridge, man.
Pedestrian bridge.
Yeah, yeah. I felt bad for the limpers and for myself, frankly.
Mostly.
I don't always spend time feeling sorry for myself. Not always.
But when I do it with the Dos Equis.
Damn right. Delicious.
It's amazing how the Bears fans travel, because it really doesn't matter where they play. If it's in Cincinnati or if it's in, you know, these obvious places where they would be, like Arizona and Florida and Vegas. I mean, they just show up to all these games. I mean, they're very dedicated. I think there's a lot of fan bases where it's like, well, if there's a special stadium, if the team is playing at Green Bay, or if the team is playing in one of those vacation spots that I would want to go to anyways, like New Orleans or Miami, then they're going to travel for it. But, I mean, the Bears fans will show up to all these games. One incentive would be to go – one attractive game on their road schedule, I think, would be to go see them play at Washington, because that is going to be one of the best matchups on paper going into the season. And – it will allow you to feel a little bit better about Soldier Field. I don't think there's any stadium you could go to that will make you feel good about Soldier Field except Washington.
That's a good question. Because here's my thing about Soldier Field. I don't think that Soldier Field is aesthetically pleasing from the outside. From the inside, I don't have a problem with it at all. I think it's a pretty nice place to watch a game from once you get inside of it. So I'm trying to think if there's another place.
Once you get to your seat. Once you get to your actual chair, because the concourses are a nightmare too. The concourses are not nearly wide enough, and I don't think there's any part of Soldier Field that is aesthetically pleasing or functional.
I'll agree with you there, because it did take me forever to get out of Soldier Field to when I went to the Rams game last year. But I still like I've always been like, you know what, this is fine. And there is the view of the skyline if you are in that place. And it's nice to be in there. But it doesn't – it looks like a bedpan from the outside or a spaceship.
It looks kind of – yeah. It's not real – it's kind of ugly from the outside and from the inside. And other than that, it's great.
I got to say, I don't like the Black Friday game. I don't usually like the Thanksgiving games. And there's twofold. One is for what we do – Jason, for what me and Lawrence do, I really like processing the game with the listeners. Like coming in here the day after a Sunday game or the day after a Thursday night game or a Monday night game and processing it with the listeners. It just kind of like it makes me feel like, all right, now I've got a full understanding of the entire experience of that. And I'll feel disenfranchised, frankly, from the community around the game. So that's one thing. The other is that a Thanksgiving game and like a Black Friday game, you're supposed to be hanging out with your family, doing other stuff. And now all of a sudden your family's going to talk football with you and want to get your football information while you're just wanting to hang out and, you know, watch a game that really doesn't matter.
Well, the Bears ruined our Thanksgiving last year.
They really did.
My poor little dad.
Oh, your dad.
He was just sitting there like, wait, what? He's like, what happened?
It
like,
broke his sports brain.
It really did.
I know.
And like, I can still remember my mother just coming over, taking the remote control and turning the television off. Because my father, my adorable little dad, was just sitting there. Yeah. And it almost looked like he expected there to be one more play.
Well, now,
that someone would give the Bears another try.
Well, now they'll just kick it, right?
Right? Isn't there a thing that's going to happen? This can't be the way that this goes. And he just sat there with his sad little face.
Oh, man, that ain't right.
It's not right.
You can't have the Bears ruining Lawrence's dad's Thanksgiving.
No.
Again.
Well, I mean, then don't let them play on holidays, I guess, or any other day that you want to enjoy, because that possibility always lurks. I mean, it has my entire life, my entire 41 years. That's always been the threat. As your dad sat there with this sad 1,000-yard stare on Lawrence, I was in the underground of Ford Field preparing for a deposition. Me and Grody and whoever else were down there with the laptop, a full-on laptop, not on the phone, on the laptop, setting it on top of an equipment cart, trying to watch these last 30 seconds, because it just didn't make sense. We're just like, that couldn't have been. What happened here?
Yeah.
Who's doing what at what time? How much time? We need to know. I need to know before I go in there to court or what you may call a press conference. I need to know every detail. I need to know what time everything happened and how many seconds there actually were that could have been preserved. And it seemed kind of like maybe Matt Eberflus hadn't taken the time to do that before he came to the deposition.
Jason Leisure is an essential part of Bears City Hall, which is the beat on days like that. Jason, as you have listened to these assistant coaches during the rookie minicamp, did you find yourself liking one or being intrigued by one a little bit more than maybe you had been on your way into the weekend?
Dennis Allen is going to be the most interesting of the assistant coaches to watch because there is so much riding on that. And the Bears fans and the people who analyze and follow the Bears for work like me have been saying all along that they should do this, that they need an offensive-minded head coach, that this is what they should have done back in 2022. And so you're getting what you wanted, but there's still a lot riding on the defense, and I just haven't gotten the indication from Ben Johnson yet that he is going to be a CEO-type coach over the defense. It sounds more and more like Dennis Allen is head coach of the defense and Ben Johnson is head coach of the offense. So there's so much in Dennis Allen's hands right now, and he inherits a defensive roster that we all think is solid, solid to good, a lot of potential there. A lot of pieces are in place. I think the rebuild under Ryan Poles has gone better on defense than on offense to this point. So, I mean, the expectations for Dennis Allen should be really high from the start. There shouldn't be the need for a lot of margin to kind of figure things out with those pieces already in place.
What do you make of the Bears saying to Ozzie Cipollo, we're gonna move you around? And we're going to take you at left tackle for right now and let you work out there. What's the benefit of that from your perspective?
I think they need to figure out where he is going to be best able to be a day one starter. And if he can step in because the opponents he'll face at right tackle might not be quite as fierce as what the left tackle would face. For whatever reason, if he is going to be able to play better sooner on the right side than the left side, then that's what they need to do. It looks increasingly likely to me that their starting tackles are going to be him and Darnell Wright. And where do you put them? You put them wherever Ozzie Cipollo can function the best.
That's interesting. So if that's the case, Jason, if that's the theory, then they might have a decision to make at some point during the offseason. We're better off letting Cipollo get reps at left to see if he can do it, or letting Darnell Wright get reps at left so he has a more comfortable transition.
You better have that figured out by the end of, by mid-June, by the end of the offseason practice schedule of OTAs and minicamp, because while we have this urgency as people who follow the team to know what the answer is, what is going to be the starting five, I assure you that the Bears have that too. The Bears do not want to be last second having to move guys around and, well, you know, this isn't working out. That they are going to want to start training camp with their week one starting five out there on the first string and build some continuity.
What did you notice about Ben Johnson practices?
Ben Johnson's very intense, and you will see him all over the field. You will see him in everywhere. And this was something that I heard about him and was aware of going back to when he was a low-level assistant for the Dolphins. I think he was the assistant wide receivers coach. I don't have it in front of me right now. But that you would see this guy at practice just drenched in sweat, although we all are at practice in Miami, running all over the field to any position group at any time.
Yeah, assistant quarterbacks coach and then tight ends coach. And then assistant wide receivers coach, and then wide receivers coach. We know that he has coached all over the field, tight ends as well, obviously. Yeah. So not a surprise that he's all over the place. And the level of intensity stood out to you. That's good to hear about.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, that may be something he has to learn. I mean, you look at him and you say, this guy is a master strategist. There's a lot more to this job than that, that he will probably find his way in. I think what will be the most interesting to see is once the full team is there how glued to Caleb Williams he is. And I hope for Caleb Williams and the Bears' sake that he is. And that Ben Johnson isn't wandering over, well, I need to start getting close with the defense, or I need to be working with the wide receiver, Luther Burden or whatever. His job is Caleb right now.
And let's hope that he's not doing it just for a photo op like the previous head coach did when the Hard Knocks cameras were here. What's that, yeah. Coach Saban? I should go, let's write that down. I should go stand by the quarterback.
Watch the game from the quarterback's perspective. Interesting. Thanks, Sabes. Saberino.
No, he doesn't do that.
Save
not
us.
Not with Nick Saban, he
Ooh,
doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
That's coach.
Mm.
You're joking a little bit, but you're not also. I mean,
no.
If you think back to those scenes of Caleb and Matt Eberflus sitting in Eberflus's office, I mean, how much more do you think he's going to be getting out of those meetings?
Oh, my
year,
God. Jason.
Sitting there with Ben Johnson, who is an expert in this, versus someone who the team, just a few months after that, decided was not qualified for that.
I'll tell you what hasn't left my head is when Dave Wannstedt let it slip towards the end of the season, just kind of, in answer to questions, says, well, then he had Matt Eberflus, who I'm not believe he had any offensive philosophy. And I'm like, yeah, we're in this far into, and then at that point removed from a head coach's job, and he had no offensive philosophy whatsoever. Like, you got to have a freaking theory. You can let Dennis Allen run everything, but I assume that Ben Johnson has a defensive philosophy as a head football coach, wouldn't you?
Well, it's going to be interesting. I mean, a lot of guys in his position, their philosophy on the other side of the ball is just the inverse of whatever they do on their side of the ball, basically. Whatever frustrates them, whatever stops their offense, or whatever works really well against Matt Eberflus's defense was part of his logic in hiring Luke Getsy, but didn't hire Aaron Rodgers to come with him. That's usually where it is. And this will come up, Matt. This will definitely come up because it came up with the last two coaches. At the end with Matt Nagy, it was the defense was starting to slide and he was getting asked about it. And he kind of reacted in a way that threw the defense under the bus, which was the only reason that he left Chicago with a respectable record, a winning record, was because of the defense that he was fortunate to have. And with Matt Eberflus, you saw not only bad hires in Luke Getsy and Shane Waldron, but really, especially last season with Shane Waldron, just no ability to articulate what he thought Shane Waldron should be doing or step in as his boss and say, hey, we need to do this. Stop doing all of your things that aren't working and run my offense the way I am telling you to run it because I'm the head coach. That's going to come up for Ben Johnson at some point, and he's an offensive expert. That's all he's ever done. He's a former quarterback. There will be some point where he is going to have a hand and interject in the defense.
I see that you're wearing your Florida Marlins cap. Did you happen to know who is the radio play-by-play guy for the Miami Marlins?
No, I don't know now for sure. I haven't lived there in so long. I don't know.
Speaks?
Who is?
It's my nephew. Jack McMullen is the radio voice of the Marlins.
Wow.
You know what's cool? You guys will appreciate this. I got unsolicited texts last night from Ron Coomer and Bruce Levine saying, what a great kid your nephew is. Really enjoyed meeting him.
That's great.
Isn't that cool?
That's like beautiful.
Yeah. Just like.
You know that he's out there acting the right way.
And I know
that. Treating people well.
100%. And I know that's what he is because that's the way my sister raised him. And he's always been a good young man. So, yeah, we're going to go to the game.
That's really cool.
We're going to go to the game tonight and go visit him up in the booth. Should be a pretty cool moment. You know
who listens to him call Marlins games besides you?
My sister listens
okay,
to every
so
game.
Two of you.
Yeah, no,
okay.
I don't. Yeah, my sister listens to every game. She came over for Passover and she listened at the table to him doing a game on Passover. Thought that was a little much myself.
Supportive. That's what I think it is.
It's true.
Jason, as always, we appreciate you. Thanks for your time.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. Have a good one.